Good afternoon. We'd really like to thank the choir for that beautiful special music. This has been a very nice day. I appreciate being able to visit with all of you down here. These flowers are beautiful. I don't know who's responsible for that, but they've been very, very attractive to sit and look at today. Isn't it nice when we have spring weather? For the spring holy days. What a beautiful day. Well, here we are. The last service, the last day of unleavened bread. Tonight at sunset, the festival will be over. So my question for you is, what do we do now? Before we answer that, let's go back and see how we got where we are right now. It was a lot of work getting here, wasn't it? The spring holy days always require a lot of work. Sometimes the journey to a destination helps to decide the path that you should take continuing on. So let's review the path that brought us here. We spent this last week, being very careful about what we eat. Going to the grocery store, if we go to a restaurant, we're very careful to pick a restaurant based on what they serve. You go to the grocery store and you pick up packages and you're very carefully reading the ingredients. And if you're anything like me, you Google half the ingredients because sometimes flavor enhancers sound like leavening. And then after a while, after Googling so much, you're thinking, I don't know if I should be eating this anyway. But we've been very careful watching what we eat. Prior to that, we celebrated coming out of sin with a wonderful banquet, the night to be much observed. You know, Israel left Egypt with a high hand. They had overcome their captors. We too celebrate a feeling of victory, overcoming the one who had held us captive, breaking those chains, being freed from the blindness that he has put on the world. Prior to that, we observe the Passover. What a special night that is. What a wonderful occasion to be able to come to the Passover. We humbly washed one another's feet. We took the bread and the wine, signifying the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. We renewed our agreement that we made at our baptism, that we were going to walk in a newness of life, leaving behind the old life. Prior to that, we went through a cleaning process. We removed all the leaven from our property, sweeping out homes, cars, going through the pantry, going through the freezers, again, looking at all the ingredients, trying to decide what could stay and what has to go, vacuuming all the nooks and crannies and furniture. We worked hard to get the leavening out of our property. But more importantly, during that time of cleaning, we were looking at ourselves. We examined ourselves for the spiritual leaven, for what we may have in our life that should not be there. We examined our lives according to the life lived by Jesus Christ, by the Word of God, by prayerfully going before God and asking him to show us what we needed to change, what we needed to get rid of. We went through this process because of the instructions given to us by Paul in the book of 1 Corinthians. If you'll turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Starting in verse 23. We read, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" We know this is a very important ceremony, one we take very seriously every year. Paul continues in verse 26, "For as often as you drink this bread, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." We didn't want to be guilty of not discerning the Lord's body. So we examined ourselves. We worked on becoming as God would have us to be. We know God has called us to be different. We worked on living a life that reflects the example set by Jesus Christ. That's a high standard. So that brings us back to now, at this point, at almost the end of the days of unleavened bread. And the question, what do we do now? What do we do moving forward? Because in just a few hours, things are going to change. The rules will be different. Leaven is no longer associated with sin. We no longer have to be so careful in choosing what we eat. The physical part of the lesson is over, but the spiritual part, the part we're really to focus on, does not end. So what do we do now? We continue looking at the ingredients. Not of what we eat, not in the food packaging we might be buying, but rather the ingredients of our life. What are we allowing in our life day by day? Is it the same ingredients that everybody else lets in? Because we should be different. We are called to be different. We're given a very clear command to come out of the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 14. "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness?" We should be separate. We should not be blending. "And what accord has Christ with Baal? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, 'I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people.'" God wants to be in our life. Therefore, verse 17, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. How do we come out of the world? We can't physically come out of the world. But wouldn't it be awesome if we could? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Sometimes I listen to these people making their plans to go to Mars and I think, where do we sign up for that? We can't physically come out of this world, but we have to be different. So if you want to be different from all the people in the world, then you stop doing things that the people of the world do. We stop acting like the people of the world. We stop acting like those who are blinded by Satan, who are misled by Satan. Now, to do that, we must realize that the world is evil. And a lot of people don't like to hear that. And they'll start pointing out, well, this person's good and that person's good. Yes, there's some good out there, but the world is Satan's world, and it's evil. In Ezekiel 9, we see that those who sigh and cry over abominations going on around them were saved from the destruction that came upon those who were performing the evil. They recognize that the nation was evil, that it was not going in a good way, that they were separating themselves from God. And it made them sad. They sighed and they cried. They lamented the fact that their nation had moved so far away from God. In 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 2, we're told that we should mourn when sin is found around us. Hopefully we examined ourselves very good before Passover, looking for anything in our life that didn't belong there. And maybe it caused us to mourn. How did that get here? How did that become a part of who I am? And that led us to keeping the Passover and the night to be remembered with that high hand, with that feeling of victory that God had showed us where we needed to change and given us the strength. So we must recognize the evil, because evil is all around us. The enemy has blinded the world to even know what evil is. Isaiah 5 and verse 20 states, woe to those who call good evil and evil good, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. I don't think that verse has ever described a time of the world more than our time right now. When evil is called good, the acceptance of evil is called love. And those who stand for what is right, for what God says is right, are called evil. So we must pay attention to the ingredients of our lives. What are we allowing in? Do we stand out from those around us? Let's look at something. We'll call it small. What about our language? God wants us to have a pure language. What does that sound like? Colossians 3 and verse 8 tells us to put off filthy language from our mouths. What words do we use? Ephesians 5 and verse 4 tells us not to make crude or coarse jokes. How far do we go to fit in sometimes? Would we have the same conversations, the same jokes, the same responses if Jesus Christ were in the room? Now, again, I said, looking at something small, does that really matter? That seems like a pretty trivial thing, doesn't it? But it's about a mindset. It's about a mindset. It opens the mind to not being different from those around us, to fitting in, to being like everybody else. What seems like a small thing can lead to so much more. Most sin starts out as a very small thing. Going back to the physical representation that we've been working with this week, think about cleaning out your car. Were you surprised at how much stuff was in your car, especially if you only do it once a year? Do you ever think, I'll get the car, it's not that big of a deal, there's not that much in there. And then you go out and you start moving seats and you're finding whole crackers and half of a hamburger bun and granola bars everywhere, and you're thinking, how did all this get in here? Where did this come from? You see, when the sun sets tonight, if you wish, you could go to Kroger and buy a can of breadcrumbs. And you can walk out and open up your car door and open up those breadcrumbs and just fling them all over your car. And then the next time you go to de-leaven your car, you won't be surprised. You'll be like, I know where all that came from. I threw it in there. But that's not how the process works. Nobody's going to do that. But over time, you eat in your car and you drop a little something here and you pass something to somebody and part of it falls. You open up a granola bar and it's pretty much done. It happens slowly. It builds up over time. It starts small. You know, Lot didn't just move into the city of Sodom. It was a gradual process. We're told that when him and Abraham parted ways, he pitched his tent in the direction of Sodom. Maybe it was the sights and sounds that drew him in. Maybe it was financial opportunity. But it seems he kept going closer and closer until by the time God was ready to destroy Sodom, it seems like Lot had moved into the center of the city. He was sitting at the gates when the angels came and visited. He didn't start out there. He slowly went there. Just like the leaven that builds up in our cars, or Lot's journey to living in the middle of Sodom, sin happens in stages. And we need to be aware of it. James wrote about the stages of sin in James 1. James 1, starting in verse 13. He writes, "Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt everyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren." We are responsible for the sin that is in our lives, because we allow it to follow these five stages that James talks about. The five stages starts with evil desires, evil thoughts, impure thoughts, a wrong thought that is left unchecked. It's allowed to just be there. You know, Satan, as the prince of the power of the air, is constantly going to bombard us with evil thoughts. He's looking for those little cracks in our armor that he can get through. Once that thought is placed, then we must decide to push it out. If we let it in at all, then we must decide this does not belong here. But sometimes we decide to entertain it. We allow it to stay. Maybe it's a fun thought. Maybe it's something that's like, it's not that bad. I can control this thought. I'm in control. But once we let that in, it turns into a desire that pulls at us. It starts leading us and directing us off the path that God has lit for us. We're told then that evil desire conceives. It gains the consent of the will. It finds a home in our mind. We don't want to let it go. But then, if we let it go unchecked, we allow it to continue being there, it gives birth to sin. Sin is born. It has a life of its own. It becomes a part of who we are, part of our character, part of how we respond, how we interact, how we live our life. And we see in verse 15 that the sin grows. It might start small, as most sins do, but it grows. It doesn't stay small. As we read in Galatians 5 and verse 9, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. It spreads and grows. Leaven spreads silently. The growth can be unnoticed to us until it's full grown. If we're not staying close to God, if we're not paying attention and examining ourselves regularly, because we're told that once sin is full grown, it produces death. The only end for a life of sin is death. That is why we must walk with the newness of life. Romans 6, verse 1. Romans 6 and verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? We have to take every aspect of sin seriously. We have to recognize it and recognize that it doesn't belong in our life. Verse 2, certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? We died to sin. We gave up that life. Verse 3, or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism unto death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So many times you'll see a sign out in front of a church, and it says, come as you are, and you will be loved. Isn't that a nice sentiment? We're the same way. Come as you are, and you'll be loved. Absolutely, come as you are. But then, God doesn't expect you to stay where you are when he calls you. He expects growth. He educates us. He shows us. He removes the blinders. We're to grow and change and to develop that character that looks more and more like Jesus Christ all the time. We should be a reflection of the life that Jesus Christ lived. We're no longer that sinner that God called out of this world. We have become something special. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 16. God has turned us into something very special. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? How clean is God's temple? How clean do we keep God's temple? Is the temple that we are a place where God would live with His Holy Spirit? Verse 17 says, if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. We need to be very careful not to defile the temple of God, because there is no room for the perfect character and love of Jesus Christ and the hate and sinful nature of Satan in the temple of God. And that is what sin is. Satan's hateful, sinful nature. We need to check our ingredients. We need to know what makes us up as a Christian. What are we allowing in the temple of God? You know, at some point, when the rain stopped and the winds quit blowing, and nobody was beating on the outside of the ark, and everything was calm and quiet, the biggest threat to Noah's ark were the woodpeckers inside. What are we allowing to be inside of us? We've been freed from Satan's grasp. How many times did the Israelites tell Moses he should have just left them in Egypt? I think they even referred to it as the land that flowed with milk and honey at one point. How many times did the Israelites say, what have you done to us? You should have just left us back there. Moses was an amazing person. Because I would have said, walk away from the cloud. You're on your own. You're going to have to swim a little bit, but it'll be worth it to you. Even after going into the promised land, Israel disobeyed God over and over and over and were taken into captivity. They kept looking back. They kept looking to society around them. Even after all the miracles and all the wonderful things God did for them, they kept getting themselves back into captivity. Do we even recognize that when we sin, we put ourselves back into captivity? We're saying to God, I know a better way. It was better back there. Do we look back longingly to where we were before God started working with us? I hope not. Hopefully, we recognize the freedom that we've been granted by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Being a Christian isn't necessarily going to make us popular It's not going to make us fit in with people around us. But that's okay. Because this is Satan's world. And it should be our desire not to fit in to Satan's world. John 17, verse 14. John 17 and verse 14. Jesus Christ praying to the Father here about us, about you and me, all those who have come before us. Jesus says, I have given them your word. We have been given God's word. Most of the world doesn't understand the words of God. They think they do, or they might think they have some understanding of this part or that part. There's an awful lot of churches around where we are right now that believe they have an understanding of the word of God. But those buildings will be closed Saturday. Jesus says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Are we a part of the world? Do we do our best to avoid being a part of the world? Christ says, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. We're protected from Satan. We're protected from his evil ways. But we must do our part. We must keep that armor that we have been given on and in good order. Jesus said, they are not of the world just as I am not of the world. There is no doubt Jesus Christ was not of the world. So are we? Are we of the world? We need to check regularly. We're to examine ourselves, not just prior to Passover, certainly prior to Passover, but not just prior to Passover. We should examine ourselves regularly according to the Word of God and see if we're on the right path. We don't want to be blending in and accepting Satan's way of life, because that way only leads to death. And we've been given life. Why would we ever want to go back? So what do we do now? We'll be leaving here shortly, and the sun will be setting, and the days of unleavened bread will be over. What will we do? We need to continue with the process that we went through before the holy days began. Examining ourselves, keeping ourselves unspotted from the world, and always checking the ingredients.